Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
In the woods, he is a true climber.
Baron Browning, linebacker, Ohio State.
Lost the football, and Ohio State takes it away. Baron Browning falls on it.
Throws an interception. Second of the day for Caden Stearns.
With the ninth pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Denver Broncos select Pat Surtain, Jr.
Surtain is one of the most technically sound corners I've ever evaluated.
So here's the class. Pat Surtain, Javonte Williams, running back. Quinn Miners, Canadian outdoorsman. Baron Browning, linebacker. Caden Stearns, safety. Jamar Johnson, safety. Seth Williams, wide receiver. Kerry Vincent, cornerback. Jonathan Cooper, linebacker. Marquise Spencer, defensive end. And I do want to throw this name in there, Tyler. Andre Mintz, M-I-N-T-Z-E, from Vanderbilt, who's an outside linebacker. He was an undrafted free agent who did collect $85,000 in guaranteed money. So that is the most. For the rest of the guys, it was Nolan Loffenberger, a guard, Adam Prentice, fullback. They exist. Warren Jackson, wide receiver. Brandon Mack, wide receiver. Devontrez Dukes, wide receiver. Mack McCain, cornerback. I'm just reading Cliss here. D. Curry, inside linebacker. C. Robinson, inside linebacker. S. Byer, tight end. And by the way, the Broncos actually did sign a tight end today, Tyler. I'm not sure if he's caught that or not, but I saw Mike reported that they picked up, let me see here, they let go of Jeff Driscoll, and they signed tight end Eric Saubert, who was a fifth-round draft pick of Atlanta in 2017, moved on to New England, Raiders, Bears, Jacksonville, 6'5", 253, just a blocking back, blocking tight end, not a pass catcher, just somebody solid if they need somebody. So, whew! Out of all that, what's your big takeaway from the draft in total with who was drafted, who they cut, who they signed as undrafted free agents? What do you think?
Yeah, we'll see how many. Inevitably, you get one or two free agents that make the team every year, and you usually can follow the trail of money. So if they guaranteed $85,000 to Mintz, then he's probably got a legitimate chance of making the team. I know he's a fast dude. He ran a 4.59 40 at Vanderbilt's Pro Day. He was a two-time captain, so he's got an opportunity to make the team. It would appear they went after another fast guy to try to help them in coverage. I don't know anything about the rest of the undrafted guys that they signed. But, you know, the overall class, what they clearly did in the later part in rounds 5 through 7, they went after special teams guys. So you look at it like, goodness, how many safeties and corners do we really need? Well, don't look at it like that. I mean, when you get to the later parts of the draft, you are drafting for depth and you're drafting for special teams. And special teams is probably more important than depth at that point. Our special teams has been abysmal of late for the last 3 or 4 years. So hopefully the guys that they drafted in rounds 5 through 7 can contribute there.
Do you think anything with the philosophy for this draft could be tied into obtaining Aaron Rodgers?
No, I do not. Aaron Rodgers has got nothing to do with anything that you did in this year's draft. If you get Aaron Rodgers, that's just plus, man. That's an extra win. It's gravy on top. It's the cherry on top. It's however you want to look at it, man. It's fantastic that you would get him, but you never plan for a situation like that. You don't know what's going to happen in a month's time. You don't know what teams are going to enter into the fold. You don't know if you're going to have the most ammunition. There's no way that you could, within reason, predict that you're going to get Aaron Rodgers at this point. So if they were doing anything in this year's draft under the hopes that they're going to get Aaron Rodgers, that's a big-time mistake because you need to build a football team with the assumption that Aaron Rodgers will not be on this team. And if he does, it doesn't matter who's on the team anyways. Aaron Rodgers is going to fit in great with whoever you drafted.
Okay. Rich Eisen, I don't know if this matters or not, but things seem to be going for the Broncos, at least in terms of, you know, Aaron Rodgers wanting to be here. Here is Rich Eisen from, we have a technical problem. My bad. By the way, somebody was commenting, what are you talking about, D-Mac, about being out in the sun? Yeah, I'm in Arizona. My son graduated college from ASU. It was awesome. I understand that it's rainy and bleary and it stinks back home. So, you know, that's, you're not listening to a podcast from 3 days ago, as he was inferring. The weather can be different in two different places at the same time. The Rockies game is now a doubleheader because I got to go here, Tyler. Baseball players are soft. I don't know what to say. I mean, you got to be kidding me. You could get it in if you wanted to. But doubleheader tomorrow. And you got to love the fact if you had a ticket for tonight, forget it. You can't use it for tomorrow. You just get like two games if you got a ticket for tomorrow.
At least you can get your money back.
Sure. Anyways, here's Rich Eisen about our guy Aaron Rodgers.
If he wants to go to a new spot, he'll force it right now. And I heard he would happily go to Denver because they've got the weapons, they've got the spot. He doesn't care that it's in Mahomes' division. He would actually love to personally beat Mahomes. He would love to send Mahomes to the wild card every single year. This is what I've been told.
Wow. Okay. Your reaction to that?
Well, I love it. And you know what? For anybody out there that's been poking fun at Mark Schlereth, you should stop, because if you haven't heard enough people by now relay very similar information to what Mark Schlereth gave us, you're out of your minds. How many national people do you have to hear say that Denver is involved, that they were involved, that Aaron Rodgers would like to come to Denver? Now, I don't know how close it really got, but bottom line is this. Aaron Rodgers would play for the Denver Broncos. So that's very encouraging news. And now you just go, okay, it's not an issue to convince Aaron Rodgers to come to Denver. So what kind of package can we come up with that is going to beat all the other AFC teams that are going to try to enter the fold and try to acquire Aaron Rodgers? I still stand by this, though, D-Mac.
Yeah.
If I'm the Packers, I'm not budging. I'm not moving him.
Yeah, he's trying to get the GM fired and what? Maybe it doesn't matter anymore.
So that's
what's he going
to
do?
Well, that's an interesting one. If you're the Packers, what do you do right now? I mean, if you really want to try to make it work, maybe you should fire the GM. Maybe that should be what you do. Because from the way that I understand it, D-Mac, it's actually not about Matt LaFleur. It's not about the system. He wanted to go play for the 49ers. That's the exact same system that Matt LaFleur is running. Mm-hmm. He is a Kyle Shanahan protege. And actually, ironically, it despite the fact that they drafted Jordan Love, it would appear from the reports that I've heard that Aaron Rodgers blames Gutekunst and however you say his name.
Boy, I like that, though. You said it with confidence. Yeah, I was rolling with you. Yeah, Gutekunst.
I shouldn't even slow down. I like it.
Gutekunst. Yeah, Let's just do it.
Yeah,
Use it.
Yeah. And apparently he blames him and not LaFleur.
Gutekunst sounds like some form of cheese, which is appropriate up there in Packerland. All right, hey, I'm looking forward to this. A very specific breakdown of every draft pick. The Fan Film Room focuses on Pat Surtain the second. Next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's the Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
With the ninth pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Denver Broncos select Pat Surtain, Jr., defensive back, Alabama.
On pressure from behind by Miller, throws deep, and intercepted. Coming back the other way, Patrick Surtain.
Rodgers, risky throw, picked off by Patrick Surtain with a defensive score.
Surtain is one of the most technically sound corners I've ever evaluated.
Fan Film Room, Pat Surtain, who is supposed to have a great career. I mean, you passed on Justin Fields and Mac Jones when you arguably could have used a quarterback. What do we have in Pat Surtain, Tyler?
So Pat Surtain is a guy that if you could disassociate the quarterback conversation, which I know is going to be impossible for many to do, but if you were in a situation where you didn't need a quarterback and your team selected Pat Surtain, It would be very, very hard to not be fired up about the guy. I mean, shoot, he's tall, he's lengthy, he's 6'2" and a little bit of change. So he's got great height out there. He uses his arms well. He looks strong. Teams just flat out are afraid to throw the ball at his way. So, you know, George Payton was right. When I watched the film of Pat Surtain this weekend, George Payton said that you can get a little bit bored when you watch the film because teams don't throw his way. Well, he's right, but that's a good thing. There's a reason why teams are not throwing his way. Number one, because he locks his dude up, and number two, he punishes you when you throw the ball at him, either via pass breakups or via interceptions. He's great with his eyes. I think that he recovers well on the rare times that he actually does get beat. I feel like he does have good hands to be a playmaker if he's got the opportunity to get the interception. It looks like he's the type of guy that could be an Aqib Talib where he catches it and then he turns into an offensive weapon. Now, I expect Pat Surtain to be more or less a day one starter. I don't know if it'll literally be day one, but before the season is really said and done, I would expect that he's going to be your number two corner on this team because, to me, he looks like an outside-the-box type of corner. I heard Vic Fangio say that he thinks he could play on the inside. That doesn't look like his strengths to me. He looks like he's the type of guy that you want lined up against the Cortland Suttons of the world that are going to be your tall, physical, mismatch type of guys, not necessarily on the inside with the change of pace, change of direction, shorter, quicker guys. Pat Surtain, bottom line, comes from a great family. His dad, obviously, was a tremendous football player. He knows the game well, did nothing but win games at Alabama, and is absolutely worthy of being a number 9 overall selection. Rumor has it that if Denver were to have traded back, that Dallas would have scooped him up in a heartbeat. So if Denver really wanted to get Pat Surtain, he was a guy that they needed. They probably did the right thing. Now, no fault of his own, but he will always be associated with Justin Fields. Yeah. And for the rest of his career, you will compare him to the impact that you think that he could have versus Justin Fields.
Talk to me about what kind of career a cornerback would need to have to show the world he was a better decision than a quarterback. Is it more of what the cornerback would do or the failure of a quarterback?
Well, there's very little that a actual corner could do to prove that he's more worthy than a QB. I mean, if QB goes out and he has a good career, there's literally nothing that he could do. So his best hope would be that Drew Locke goes out and plays good football, or Teddy Bridgewater goes out and plays good football, and they just prove that they didn't need a QB on this team. Mm. You know, but that's not up to him, and he doesn't need to worry about that stuff anyways. You know, he doesn't need to vindicate himself to the fan base or to upset fans that they didn't select a QB. He just needs to go out there and play good football, be the dude that he was in college, and if he plays the way in the NFL that he did in college, he'll be worthy of a number 9 overall selection. The dude is a baller.
Okay, let's get more to the player then. You're playing the Raiders. Who's on Darren Waller?
Probably not Pat Surtain. Pat Surtain's probably on the outside. That's always going to be a problem for NFL teams league-wide. I guess in theory you could pull what we did a few times with Aqib Talib, and we put Aqib Talib down there on Rob Gronkowski. So he does have the type of height and physicality that he could hang with a tight end inside the box. But in all likelihood, I mean, it's going to be your Brownings, or it's going to be your safeties. Okay. It's going to be whoever traditionally gets lined up on him. It's very unusual to bring a corner inside to get matched up one-on-one on a tight end. It has been done. Wade Phillips did it with Aqib Talib and Rob Gronkowski, but that's not normal.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that Surtain would be doing that every week, Tyler. I'm just saying, I mean, we know the teams that have those special tight ends. I mean, everybody has a tight end that drives us nuts, no doubt. But a few teams have players where the tight ends are the best receiving threats. Not a lot, but enough, and we've got two in our own division.
Well, I mean, if you're really trying to solve that problem, you weren't solving it by selecting Pat Surtain. You would have solved that problem by selecting Micah Parsons or by selecting Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah right in the second round. So those are the type of guys that could have helped you with that particular issue. That's not going to be Pat Surtain's wheelhouse, though.
Okay. Pat Surtain will have what kind of career in your estimation for the Denver Broncos?
I think he'll have a great career. I mean, by all indications, by the film that you've got, he should at least be a two contract guy, and it's up to him to see where you take that. Hey, man, getting into the NFL is one thing. Lasting in the NFL and being a second contract guy, that's an entirely different question. He certainly has got the talent to be a great corner for the Broncos. Will he be a Chris Harris? Will he be an Aqib Talib? Well, time will tell. I mean, he's got to earn the right to enter that conversation, but he's certainly got the talent and the skill set.
Well, the grades are in. We have 18 draft experts grading people left and right, and we'll get to those grades, and we'll go through it. What do you give Pat Surtain over Justin Fields? Details on that next on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Tyler, do you care about draft grades?
I think they're fun to look at. I do not buy into them at all. I mean, end of the day, it takes 3 years. So you gotta grade it somehow based off the information that you have. So I'm not, like, anti them. I just don't put a lot of credit into it.
All right, let's look at some of these. I got 18 draft grades.
Oh, 18.
So
goodness.
What?
Just average it out for me. Holy
well,
cow.
Well, that's what they did.
Yeah.
They gave a grade as if it was like you were in school, like a college, like GPA, high school, something like that.
Okay.
And so let me see if I can go through it really quick. Chad Reuter, B+. Ryan Fowler, Draft Network, B+. Nick Goss, NBC Sports, Boston, A. Ben Rolfe, Pro Football Network, B+. Sporting News, B+. The Ringer doesn't like us, C. B+ from TD Wire. Pro Football Focus, the Nerds, A-. USA Today, A. Mel Kiper Jr., a B. B+ from the New York Post, B+ from Sports Illustrated. The Score, B+, Fan Side, A. Washington Post, Nikki! Oh, it wasn't Nikki, it was Mark Mass from the Washington Post, B-. The Draft Wire, B+, and NBC Sports, some guy named Thor Nystrom.
Thor. Yeah, we should respect this one. How's he got us?
A+.
Thor, that's my man.
Hold on. Yeah, A+. Wow, that's crazy. A+ from our guy, Thor.
Couldn't have done any better.
So a 3-4-1 overall GPA, 3-4-1. Wow, that sounds pretty good, huh? 3-4-1. I wish I had a 3-4-1 in college. That would have been nice. So that puts the Broncos overall from those 18 graders, 11th out of 32 teams. Number one was the Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears, by those 18 experts, got A's except for two B+. Mel Kiper, a B+, the New York Post, a B+. That's it. Everybody else was an A, A-, or A+ for the Chicago Bears, who finished in first place. Wow. Why do you suppose that happened, Tyler?
Well, you could look at these grades for the Broncos in one of two ways. And you could say, all right, we're going to grade them based off the players that they actually selected and not on the players that they did not select, meaning we're not going to take into factor that you did not select Justin Fields, and you're just going to base it off the guys that you got. Or you could say, look, I think that they had to select a quarterback. They did not select a quarterback. So no matter who they drafted, this grade is an F. And I would imagine you're probably somewhere closer towards that. I'm probably somewhere closer towards grading it based off the players that you did select and saying, look, are these guys good football players? Do I think that they're going to help you in the long run? And did they make sense for you or not? And I think that had you selected a tackle relatively high in the second, third round, I probably would have given this draft an A, but because they did not and they neglected that entirely, I give this grade about a B-, C+, somewhere in that range for me personally, and I'm going to truly evaluate it in a handful of years and see, okay, well, what did Justin Fields and Mac Jones do in comparison to Teddy Bridgewater or Drew Locke?
That's the bottom line.
I know. I would imagine you're in the ballpark that they didn't select the guys, so it's a D. It's an F.
Yeah. I mean, oh, boy. To me, it's an F. Well, everything to me is contingent on, are you going to get Aaron Rodgers? I mean, did you seriously do what you did? Play it a little safe. Build depth. Because you seriously think you can get Aaron Rodgers.
But how could you plan for that, D-Mac? How could you legitimately plan for that?
Well, from the Mike Silver story, a lot of these decisions were made 2 days ago. And the Silver story has, there's no way this Aaron Rodgers thing was just happening at the last minute. The way they pressed forward at the last minute, okay, fine. But Tyler, come on, man. There's no way he could be that upset with the organization and they only find out the morning of the draft. You're not buying that, are you?
No, I mean, this thing has been brewing for a long time. I do feel more so than ever that I actually agree with Brandon Stokely that it feels like it is the Packers that leaked this information and not Aaron Rodgers, because they were actually trying to get something done at the last minute, because they were actually looking for somebody that would offer them something that they want to do, and they didn't want to give them to the San Francisco 49ers and have to see them in their own division. So I think it was actually the Packers that leaked this information.
Whoa. So do you... You think the Packers just didn't get the deal that they wanted?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good conspiracy theory. Do you buy that?
I do. I mean, I don't think it makes any sense for Aaron Rodgers. Look, I got to give credit to Stoke on this because it was his idea.
I don't know, man.
I don't think it makes any sense for Aaron Rodgers to turn himself into the bad guy the day of the draft. If he wanted to be the bad guy, he would have leaked this a week ago, 2 weeks ago,
okay,
so that he could have gotten it out there. The Packers, Aaron Rodgers said at the Derby that he was disappointed that this became public and that he had been trying to handle this all internally. And, you know, for the Packers, they got the offer from the 49ers. It was probably a pretty good offer, but they just couldn't live with the fact that they might have to see him in their own division. So they were trying to get somebody else to offer what they wanted.
Man, what is in the crawfish on that one? I don't know.
But regardless, D-Mac, I would say this to you. You can't account for Aaron Rodgers in your grade. So however you're going to grade this team, you cannot account for Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I start with an F then. And
oh, man.
So I start with, well, that's what I gave him in 2018. What's the difference? I don't believe in Teddy Bridgewater, by the way. I believe way more in the upside and ceiling of Drew Lock, more so than Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, we are really seeing actions right now that you would think we're about to win the Super Bowl this year. Like right now, a bunch of 1 year contracts, a vet QB to manage things, drafting depth and special teamers left and right, you know, a high value on a running back, which is, you know, okay, he's a great running back. You know, that's like being the world's best basketball player under 5'5". I don't know. I mean, you know, there's everything's relative. What are we talking about here? So I don't know what to say.
Holy cow, man.
Well, I start with
there's
an F.
There's nobody in this draft that's going to help you?
Well, but everything's relative. You took a cornerback over a quarterback.
I get it.
What am I supposed to say? That's an F.
Okay, you're giving him an F. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, and I'm going to say he made his choice. He made a decision.
I could be proven wrong because I doubt it. I haven't been proven wrong yet on this topic, but if you...
Well, you easily could have been proven wrong if you selected Josh Rosen. So if you select the wrong guy, yes, it hurts you more.
All right, hold on. Who did the Cardinals, this is a tough one, I'll be stunned, and I don't know the answer off the top of my head, but who did the Cardinals give up on in 2018 to draft Josh Rosen?
Oh, no idea.
Right. It doesn't stand out, right? Like, I mean, I have
but
to look
I'm not
the
covering the Cardinals.
Draft.
So that doesn't mean that it wasn't a bad decision.
I know. I'm looking it up. But we don't know off the top of our head.
Nor does that apply apples to apples to this situation. I mean, if Pat Surtain turns into a phenomenal football player and Justin Fields is a bust, well, then did he make the right decision? Yes.
Okay, fine. I mean, I guess. You know, it doesn't change the fact you still need a quarterback. The thing that doesn't make this a bust, here's where you win this. Because in my mind, you still draft a quarterback even if he's a bust because you got to give yourself a shot. Here's where I am proven wrong, in my opinion. Here's how to get myself. Teddy Bridgewater is fantastic and is a superstar, and you didn't need a quarterback anyway. Or Drew Lock is like that. He's unbelievable. He's great. You go from there. All right, I have the – all right, this is great. I've got – oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Let me give you the four picks after Josh Rosen, and you tell me who the Cardinals would be better off today, how much better off they would be. How much better off they would be had they gone with one of these four players. You ready?
Okay.
Minka Fitzpatrick.
Okay.
Vita Vea. Darren Payne, Marcus Davenport, and I'll give you one more, Colton Miller.
Colton Miller would definitely be the right selection of those guys. I mean, Minka Fitzpatrick is a good choice as well. Colton Miller was a little bit of a Garrett Bowles story. The Raiders were struggling with him out the gates, but he just got himself a nice big-time contract. You get your starting left tackle locked down. You're arguably the second most important position on your football team, and you draft the right guy. Of course that would be the wrong decision.
Okay. Are any of those players better than Kyler Murray?
No.
All right. My point being, if it is a bust, if Justin Fields was a bust, Tyler, right? You took Justin Fields and he was a bust. You just reset and you repeat and you go for it again.
I get it. But George Payton made his decision.
All right.
He made his decision.
We actually
think that Justin Fields is not the guy. Justin Fields was better than Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater, he would have selected him. So he made his decision. So at the end of the day, yes, it will be fair to evaluate George Payton based on this decision in a few years when we know what happens. But if Justin Fields is a bust and our guy Pat Surtain is excelling, he made the right decision.
We agree.
But that's pretty insane.
All right, so it's an F in my book, but who am I? Nobody. but we do agree. We essentially agree on that.
I mean, is it an F if you select Josh Rosen?
Yes. Yeah. It's, well, as it turns out, it was not initially.
Right.
But as it turns out, sure. The problem I have is I don't know how I know what the upside would be to picking a great quarterback. I really don't know what the upside is to picking the world's best cornerback. I mean, does that win you a Super Bowl? Does that get you into the playoffs? I mean, I don't know, man.
It's arguably the third or the fourth most important position on your football team, depending on who you talk to. So selecting a foundational player at corner is never a bad decision if you get it right.
All right, let's go through that because I know we got to take a break. I want to do that with you. Where does corner sit? Where does it sit? I really want to hash that out. Plus, Mike Kliss will join us. He loves those undrafted guys and the money they get. That's like his, I mean, it's like, it's the joy of his life to find that out. We'll talk to Mike coming up.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Man.
On the text line. So getting the best cornerback and best running back warrants an F? Pure ignorance. Clown emoji. Yeah, I love the clown emoji. Let's see. Who was the first cornerback taken? It was J.C. Horn. That's right. Let's see. Who was the first running back?
Hold on. But I thought that didn't mean they were the best, D-Mac.
Well, I thought that
was your big take.
That's what I said. Najee Harris so
you
and Travis Etienne.
You can't use that against the texter then.
Good thing D-Mac is not the GM of the Broncos. That's a good point because we would have had Josh Allen as a quarterback. So good on you. The Broncos are the only team in NFL history to win the Super Bowl and then miss the playoffs five straight years. They're the only ones. But good thing I'm not the GM. Great point. Nice one. The most important positions on a football team. Let's go through it in terms of influence. Quarterback, okay. Left tackle or pass rusher? What do you want?
Yeah, I go quarterback, left tackle, then I go edge rusher, then I go corner. So corner lands at number four. It's a cornerstone position, no pun intended. It's one of the most important positions on your football team, and you do need to get it right. But on my personal priority list, it lands at number four.
Okay, fine. So more important than safety?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, more important than wide receiver?
Yes.
More important than running back, clearly. More important than tight end?
More important than every other position.
Okay. More important than right tackle.
Yes.
Cornerback is more important than right tackle.
That's right.
Okay. Our 9 News Broncos insider, Mike Kliss, joins us now courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. Mike, why don't you chime in on this conversation? In terms of importance on a team, where do you put cornerback? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I mean, where do you put corner?
It's in the top four. So let's see here. I don't know. There's quarterback and then there's the other three, right? You block for the quarterback, left tackle. You rush the quarterback, edge rusher. Mm-hmm. You cover who the quarterback's trying to throw to.
So the person that covers the receiver is more important than the receiver.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good enough. So how good of a cornerback do you need to be a better option than a quarterback?
Yeah, this sounds like a push, one of those push pull questions. A leading question there, D-Mac.
Is that not the question they had to ask themselves?
Yeah, here's what it was. It was, I kind of likened it to you make an investment and let's say a stock. You know, you got this Fortune 500 company. It's already up there. You're going to make a safe 8 to 10%. Pretty much every year. Or you got these high tech, and that would be the cornerback, Patrick Surtain. Or you've got Justin Fields, a quarterback who's like, a high tech stock of 20 years ago. You can make 50% or you could tank. And, I think it's, following this analogy, George Payton went for the safe 8 to 10%, a real good player. Who's with the number 9 overall pick, he's not going to whiff on. You don't want to whiff on a top 10 pick. And, I think this guy's good enough from what everyone says. He should be a 2-time Pro Bowler by the time his first 5-year contract is finished. Maybe a 3-time Pro Bowler. So, and Justin Fields, maybe, with his ability to go off script, he might be a guy who can keep up on the same field with Patrick Mahomes. Or, there's the whole, can he do it from the pocket? Can he process? All that kind of stuff. Will he go bust? Statistically speaking, at least 2 of these quarterbacks are gonna bomb out.
Yeah, it's funny.
And I'm not saying Fields is going to be one of the 2 or 3 that tank, but those are the percentages.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that you don't want to whiff when you're in the top 10. And I guess that's what it really comes down to for me when I try to make sense out of it. If you had the option to select a quarterback, I mean, D-Mac's right. Of course, the QB has got a bigger impact on your team. I'm not as down on the draft as D-Mac is. I still think it was a pretty decent draft by George Payton. But if you're going to pass on the QB, the only reason you pass on is because you do not believe that that guy is going to be successful. So I'm curious what you know about their opinion of Justin Fields, because I would feel like it implies that they think that Justin Fields is just not going to work out.
Yeah, him or Mac Jones.
Correct.
I think the Broncos, they can see that Fields will work out. They'll be able to believe that he'll be really good someday, but they also had their doubts. And they had more doubts on Fields and Jones as impact quarterbacks than they did at Surtain at cornerback. And, I think that's what it came down to, you know, that's a risk. That's also a risk.
Yeah, but that, you know, God, I'm losing my head here because everything is relative. Like, it was, so, no. Oh, I think this kicker is going to be the greatest kicker, so I should take him. No, of course not. That's ridiculous. You know, yeah, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Because, all right, he's the best at his position. Your position is relative to the other positions. And the potential upside.
But what if you think that position, what if you think Justin Fields is not going to be successful? Then what do you do?
Then go ahead, Mike. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, then you go with Surtain. Let me throw in one more possibility here. I didn't ask George this specifically, and I'm sure he wouldn't answer it anyway. But if Aaron Rodgers does become available later this summer.
Yeah.
Right now, the odds are against Aaron Rodgers being traded. If he does become available for trade, the odds of the Broncos getting him are better than others, it would appear. And if you want Aaron Rodgers, it's probably not going to help if you have Justin Fields sitting there at number nine as your number nine overall draft pick. I don't know if that had any. I don't know if that had any impact or influence or. But it might have. George seems to think of everything, right? He turns over every pebble, not every rock. You know, you don't take Justin Fields because you think you're going to have a legit chance at Aaron Rodgers at some point.
Is that what happened?
I don't know. That was speculation on my part. I'm just two and two together on that.
Mike, if that happens and they get Aaron Rodgers, the draft is an A+. I'll give them a big gold star because you're smarter than everybody combined because everybody wants Aaron Rodgers and you're playing chess and I'm playing checkers and all that sort of stuff. But right now, it's an F.
F.
Yeah.
Goodness.
F.
Goodness.
You got two corners in free agency. I don't care how good he's going to be at his position. He's a cornerback. By your judgments, it's the fourth most important position on the field. I would have been much higher that you dropped back and got
tied for second. But
what tied? Okay, fine. But what about getting Jalen Phillips, who you highly regarded? You could have dropped back a few spots, gotten Jalen Phillips, and gotten another. Corner if you wanted, and still you could have got your running back Javonte Williams. How about that? Has anybody talked about that?
D-Mac, you had it all figured out here on how to move the pieces.
Well, I'm not the one that loved Jalen Phillips. They were. You found that out. We found that out. Everybody found it out. All you had to do was move back a few spots, and you had three teams that were trying to move back. And seriously, if you really wanted Aaron Rodgers, trade back with the Saints. You would have got a first and a second round pick for that, and you could have used that as bait to get Aaron Rodgers. That would have been a plan for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, you're right. The Aaron Rodgers, my speculation doesn't quite fit the fact that they stayed at nine. If Aaron Rodgers was really part of the greater plan, you trade back from nine and you stockpile, you try to get at least a first round draft pick next year to give to Green Bay an extra, you know, so because you got to give them three first round picks somehow, some way. I'm not sure Green Bay are going to be looking at teams that have two first round picks next year to start with. But, you know, I just think what you got here. Look, George Payton, let's look at who George Payton is. He's a guy who had several opportunities to be a GM before. And he said no. He was picky. He was deliberate. He wanted to make sure it was the right situation for him before he took a job. I think that's just part of his nature. And part of his nature was to take a surer thing in Patrick Surtain than a riskier pick in Justin Fields. I think that's, you know, someone else who, someone else who's bent on taking a few more risks is more apt to throw money at that stock, that high-tech stock, would have taken Justin Fields. I understand both. They paid George Payton big money to be the GM, not you, D-Mac. And
no kidding.
They pay you to, they pay you to analyze and evaluate and criticize what George Payton does. And so I think they're both fair. I think Payton had his good logic on why he made the pick he did. And I definitely don't think you're out of bounds for second guessing what he did.
Mike, what do you know about the Aaron Rodgers situation? Do you believe the team when they say that they were not having conversations about Aaron Rodgers, or that they did not have a conversation with Green Bay? I'll be more specific on that. Do you believe them when they say that they did not have a conversation with Green Bay about Aaron Rodgers?
You know, I think the Broncos have poked around here and there on Aaron Rodgers, because it's you know, it kind of came out that he's been unhappy ever since Beautiful Mystery. Really, it was 20 minutes after his season ended, and I think teams have periodically called the Packers, and the Packers have I think every time said we're not trading him, and so I think from what came out in the silver piece is that the Broncos, through a third party, made an inquiry on Aaron Rodgers with the Packers, and we're told through the third party, and I'm not sure who the third party is, might be the agent, although the agent seems like he's on Aaron Rodgers' side and wants out. But they found out through a third party, whatever that is, whoever that is, that the Packers were not trading him. And so, I don't think the Broncos made an offer. John Lynch, I believe, said that the 49ers did call and were making an offer, or had made an offer, and were told under no uncertain terms that he was not available. So that's where it is, guys. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is, until he re-signs with the Packers, it's going to go on all summer. But it's not anything that's imminent, that's for sure. He is not available for trade right now, so you do have to carry on. And right now, to D-Mac and many other people's chagrin, their quarterback situation is Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater. And, it'll be interesting to see. Fangio said it's going to be 50-50. I believe that. But I think it seems to me like you'd almost put a nickel on Bridgewater, since he's the thinking there is not making mistakes as a quarterback, not taking risk is more winning football than having all the talent, pushing the ball downfield, making the big plays, but also making too many turnovers that cost the team. I'd give a little edge to Bridgewater in that race.
We got
to
roll here with you, Mike. I just want to let you, I got a question, just a quick question before we go. Who is Malik Willis?
Who?
Right. You'll know him by this time next year because he's the number one quarterback prospect in the class of 2022. That's right. Oh, you'll know his name. We'll all know his name at this time next year because we would have spent the past 3 months talking about how we can get Malik Willis on the Denver Broncos. So wait for those conversations. Who was Mac Jones?
Another factor here is you got a coaching staff that may or may not be here next year.
Right.
And the new coaching staff, or as you interview, do you like Justin Fields? Because that's the quarterback you're going to get. And do you want to do that to the new head coach? Or do you want the new head coach to pick his new quarterback? I'm not suggesting that Fields getting fired.
Love you, Mike. We'll let you go. Mike Liss, our 9 News Broncos insider, courtesy of Bet River Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino, KKFN and KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver. It's 5.
Stand up and shine.
With the 9th pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Denver Broncos select Pat Surtain, Jr., defensive back, Alabama.
Surtain is one of the most technically sound corners I've ever evaluated.
Rodgers, risky throw, picked off by Patrick Surtain with a defensive score.
Javonte Williams.
Javonte Williams breaks a tackle, breaks another to the goal line, and he's in for another Carolina touchdown.
Quinn Miners, guard. Wisconsin Whitewater.
Trains in the woods. He is a true climber.
Baron Browning, linebacker, Ohio State.
Lost the football, and Ohio State takes it away. Baron Browning falls on it.
Throws an interception. Second of the day for Caden Stearns. And he's intercepted. Touchdown, Indiana, Jamar Johnson.
Ted Williams has it, and he's free. Down the sideline. Touchdown, Auburn, 58 yards.
Lumley throws an interception. Picked off by Kerry Vincent. And it's in trouble, and he's sacked. They brought the house, led by Jonathan Cooper.
And then throw in Marquis Spencer, defensive end out of Mississippi State. That was cool. That was amazing, Richie. There you go, Tyler, huh?
Yeah, buddy.
Now our draft class sounds pretty good.
Well, yeah. Well, you follow that up after you called in Neff. I don't know what to believe in here anymore. Goodness. Just, you didn't see him my way. It's in half.
I'm just saying, man. Like, get to know Malik Willis. Get to know Sam Howell. Get to know Caden Slovis. You know, I could keep going, hey, get to know JT D-Mac, Daniels.
You know what, D-Mac, and if you're in that spot where you need a quarterback and you're selecting there, there's always going to be another one. Oh. There's always going to be another one.
Well, how about this guy, Jaden Daniels from Arizona State? Come on! If this will all be worth it, if the Broncos finally, with a top 10 pick, select Jaden Daniels out of ASU, forks up. Oh, my God. Then I'll be like, Patrick Surtain was the smartest draft pick of all time. But until that happens, here we is again, Tyler, and we have a 50-50 quarterback battle.
Welcome to another 360 days of quarterback conversation of D-Mac telling you he was right. How many days we got left? About 360, something like that?
I don't know, man. Tick, tick, tick. Every day is special. But all right. I mean, this is just... Here we go again. Here we go again with, like, all right, let's see. And we're in the same exact spot. So here we go again. But there's a new batch of quarterbacks. There's always a new batch, Tyler, every year. So you stink again. They'll be there.
Hey, man, here's the bottom line is that, I wanted Justin Fields as well. I know you wanted Justin Fields. And of course, I would prefer that they would have selected Justin Fields over Pat Surtain. But we will not know how to evaluate this for another couple of years. And in a couple of years, we will definitely compare and contrast. How does Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater look in comparison to Justin Fields and Mac Jones? And in a few years, if Mac Jones and Justin Fields are lighting the world on fire, well, look, no doubt about it. You were right. I was right. They should have selected Justin Fields. I'm just going to choose to live with the glasses a half full a little bit more. I'm going to evaluate the draft class based off the guys that we got, not the guys that we did not get. And the guys that we got, there's a lot of guys that are going to help the Denver Broncos become a better football team. So, you know, he made his choice, and yes, it is fair for you to evaluate him based off how Justin Fields plays in the future. No doubt about it. That is fair. That will be his defining legacy for George Payton. Did he pass up on a generational talent or not? But if he passed up on a guy that is a Josh Rosen or a Dwayne Haskins or any of those guys, well, guess what? Then he made the right decision, and you can't be sitting here saying that he made the wrong decision.
How about this on the text line about Kliss? That was a funny, almost D-Mac-type reasoning that the quarterback wasn't selected because good chance there'll be a new coach next year.
Oh, funny.
Not true, but funny.
Oh.
Well, is it not true? You know it's not true?
What's not true?
That the reason they didn't take a quarterback now is because they want the coach next year to take his guy?
No, I don't believe that. I don't. I mean...
That's what Kliss was insinuating right there.
I heard you say it earlier, and I was well aware of where you probably had heard that, but, you know, that's not a... It's that doesn't make sense to me personally. Hey, man, maybe Mike is right. Maybe they've already decided to fire Vic Fangio. But if that's the case, why didn't they do that the day that they brought in a new GM? If they knew that they were going to be hiring a new head coach next year, then they should have fired Vic Fangio last year. So, no, I don't believe that. I firmly do believe that if Vic Fangio wins 9 games or more, he will be retained. He will be the coach next year. So I don't buy the fact that we already know that we've got a new head coach next year. Could we? Easily. If we get 8 games or less, we could easily have a new head coach next year. But if we win 9 games or if we go to the playoffs, dude, Vic Fangio's not going anywhere.
All right. Everybody is, you're an absolute liar.
I mean, you really believe that? You really believe that if Vic Fangio wins 9 games or more, that we're looking for a new head coach?
Well, like I said, it sort of depends on how you won those 9 games. I mean, John Fox got the Broncos to a Super Bowl, and John Elway almost fired him right then and there. So, yeah, it could happen. There's reasons things could happen. You tell me, why did John Elway almost fire John Fox after they lost in the Super Bowl?
I wasn't around for that one, so I'll trust you. I mean, I was playing. Well, but
he almost did. And the only reason, let me tell you, if John Fox had lost in the AFC Championship game that year, he would have been fired. It does happen. Winning coaches do get fired. It does happen. You don't see eye to eye with the GM. You're not philosophically on the same page.
I get it, but if they knew, like they know, what you're insinuating is that they know and they're going to allow the next head coach to pick the quarterback, not this coach, because he's not going to be here. So if they know that, why in the world is Vic Fangio currently the head coach of the Denver Broncos?
Yeah, he shouldn't be. You've got absolute fantastic logic there.
But so you're saying that they know that, and I'm saying that they don't know that.
Okay. Well, we also don't know who's going to be.
Now I'm challenging you. I'm challenging you. Are you saying that they know that they're going to fire Vic Fangio next year?
Hold on 1 second. I'm getting the my guy, Cliss. Do I know they're going to fire? No, I don't know it. I know that there was a thought, like Mike expressed, like, listen, man, why make such a big move when we may have a different coach? And if we're really going to make that move, he should get to pick the guy next time. So, I mean, you know, that's it.
Why in the world does he still have another chance then? Like, that just doesn't make any sense.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm not disagreeing with you. Right. I can't. Tyler, you're asking me to make sense.
Well, I'm asking you if you believe what you're saying or not.
I believe what I'm saying, but you're asking me to make sense of out of a situation that doesn't make a whole heck of a lot of sense.
Oh, that's
there's
right.
A lot
sure
of things
doesn't.
That don't make sense. No, I got it. I mean, why is John Elway still got a job with the Broncos?
Because he's John Elway and you can't fire him.
All right. That makes true.
It's not hard.
But okay, but that doesn't make sense.
No, yeah, it does.
Well, all right. So this is the world we're in, where things just exist and happen that just whether they make sense or not, they just happen because of other extraneous reasons. You know, like we're removing John Elway from the final say of roster building, but he's still in the room having influence, at least as far as being there and sitting there with his arm crossed and dreaming about, you know, whatever he's dreaming about, having his Happy Gilmore dreams. I mean, that was the Mike Silver article. Read the Mike Silver article. That's exactly what it said.
And I believe it.
Yeah. So, I mean, why do we have that?
Because it's John Elway and you couldn't fire him.
It's John Elway and you can't fire him. Gotcha. Matt Russell's out of a job. Well, he retired.
Well, Matt Russell's not John Elway.
Right. I get it. Well, of course, Tyler. Of course you should have let go of Vic Fangio when John Elway went on. And the GM should have hired the coach who should have hired his offensive coordinator, who should have drafted their quarterback. Of course, that makes sense. This doesn't. You hire a GM, you don't fire the coach, you don't fire the OC, you don't really like the quarterback they have in-house. At the last minute, you grasp for one quarterback that you do kind of like. That's according to Silver, by the way. I thought it was the other way around, but Silver writes it was the Broncos that reached out to the Panthers, not the other way around. You bring him in, you get cold feet about the quarterback because you're really not sure if our coach is going to be around. So say, what the heck, we're going to go with Teddy. And then you throw in a 50-50 proposition. I mean, are we – see, I'm almost cursing. Hey. Are we crazy?
Well, that's a good question. That's a good question because I could easily see a world in which Vic Fangio gets fired next year based off the performance that he has this year for sure. But if we literally know, if what you and Mike Kliss are telling me is true, that this team knows for a fact that they're going to fire Vic Fangio next year, they will hire a new head coach, and that head coach will be able to bring in his own quarterback. If we know that a year in advance, we are literally the dumbest organization in the history of professional sports. And I refuse to believe that we are actually that dumb that we are allowing a guy to be the head coach of the football team, make roster decisions, have major impact on who we drafted this year. If we know for a fact that he is going to be fired next year, hey, man, if that's true, we are the dumbest in history. There's never been a dumber organization in the history of professional sports.
I refuse
to believe that we're actually.
Well, you realize we've done that before, right? We used John Fox to build the defense up to a certain degree, but when it came time to go across the finish line, they got in Gary Kubiak, right? We know that's already happened. So, okay.
No, I don't know that that's already happened.
They did. They had an immature coach. Immature coach, and they got rid of Josh McDaniels.
Okay.
So immature coach, VJ.
So you're saying they let Josh McDaniels coach an extra year when they knew that they were going to fire him, that they let John Fox coach an extra year when they knew for a fact that they were going to part ways with him?
Yes, on Fox, that is true, because Elway really was turned off to Fox after the Super Bowl, and he almost lost his job right then and there. Well, they let Fox coach an extra year after he was supposed to be gone. That is true.
If they knew that for a fact, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Well, okay, there you go. And then after, you know, Foxy made the playoffs for three straight years, including a Super Bowl run. And then, you know, it was a mutual parting of the ways. But trust me, Fox was going to be gone one way or the other. So there's a winning coach, a really big time winning coach that was shown the door. So, it absolutely could happen. And sometimes, yes, I get it. The defense won in 2015. All right,
so
fine.
Why would we let Vic Fangio have impact on the draft this year?
I don't know.
D-Mac, you don't know that he's going to be fired. Nobody knows that. I mean,
we are really turning things around here.
What's that?
Well, you're the one that thought he was going to be gone more than I did.
Yes, I have a personal belief that he's going to get fired, but I don't know that. I mean, that's just my personal belief.
I don't know it either.
You were saying that is literally what you've been saying.
I have information that leads me to believe that. I believe it. I don't know it. The only way I would know it, if I was the decision maker, we're going to be that literal. I believe it based on stuff I've heard, not stuff that I'm making up.
Okay, well, I mean, I guess the difference is that I just said it was my opinion. You're putting it out there that you've been fed information that implies that that is true.
Well, I've got information that makes me believe it. I've got information that's forming my opinion.
Sure.
It's I'm not, you know, telling you 2 + 2 = 4 like it's a empirical fact.
So somebody has information that Vic Fangio is already fired.
All right. I forget it. We're going down a wacky path because we agree about way more things than we disagree with here. And we'll see how it goes. You've made your decision. Vic Fangio to me is just, I don't know if he believes strongly in anything aside from he just likes coaching football, and that's about that.
I want all the meatballs in the pasta.
There it is. He wants all the meatballs in the pasta. And George Payton, ultimately, at the end of the day, took a very conservative route to the draft. And yeah, Tyler, if you take a conservative route to each and every single draft, you're going to do okay. You are going to do okay. You're just never, if you don't take any chances on quarterback, ever really going to have stratospherical success. You never will.
But D-Mac, it's also true that when you're as bad as the Colorado Rockies or the Denver Broncos right now, you got to start getting guys on base. And if you feel like you've got somebody that's going to get you on base in time, you're going to start scoring runs. So if you've got doubts about Justin Fields, which I wish that they drafted him, I'm not having it both ways. For sure, I wish that they drafted Justin Fields. But I'm going to give George Payton the benefit of the doubt and say that if he made his decision that Justin Fields is not going to help him and Pat Surtain can, well, then that's probably a safer decision if that's the way that he believes.
What was your big takeaway from Mike Silver's piece?
I thought it was interesting the way that George Payton got hired. It felt to me like it was way more Elway than I thought it was going to be or that I ever really truly believed. I mean, it looks like and it sounds like, according to that article, that John Elway handpicked George Payton, that he wined and dined him, that it was his selection, that that's who he really wanted. And then it makes you wonder, okay, if that's really true, that it was John Elway that was making the hire, well, how much loyalty does George Payton have to John Elway? And thus, all the conversations that we've always had, how much impact does John Elway still have? Well, where does that really lie if George Payton has to feel that much loyalty to John Elway?
What do you got there, Richie? What you go ahead and play what you got. Oh, the happy music, yes. It was so funny that we were having fun with the Happy Gilmore, the happy music, like the happy place for Elway. And then we read the Mike Silver article, and it literally is all about the happy place for John Elway. I mean, seriously, you must have been laughing, Tyler, when you read that.
Oh, well, it's exactly what we've been talking about.
It was.
Shoot, Vic Fangio even said that the happiest man in the building is John Elway right now.
I know, wasn't that funny? Hey, man, do what you want. I don't know. Like, do what you want.
Glad it's not me.
That's not me. I'm not stressed out.
Having fun, George.
And then the article says how frustrated Elway was with the Kendall Hinton New Orleans situation. And then basically that was it. That's what the Silver article implies, Tyler, that after that week, Elway was like, I don't need this anymore. Oh, okay. All right. I get it. You know, and it's nice to have one more year, I guess, to do whatever.
Hey, it's a tough job. And if I could collect the same salary for not doing that job, I'd probably prefer to do that as well.
No, man. It's why John Elway should be all right. Of our heroes. I mean, hey, that's it. That's how to do it.
I get that handicap down real quick.
That's right, man. Everything looks better, tastes better. You know, I'm looking at some of these responses on the text line. Maybe this does happen every draft. Maybe it does seem like there's a portion of the fan base, Tyler, that really just wants us to come on the air and say how amazing everything was. Maybe that is the way to go. Like, the past doesn't matter. Everything was incredible. Wow, look at who they got. It is amazing that you picked out four good players out of the top, 100 guys in the world. How'd you ever do it? But it feels like that's what people want. Do you get that vibe too, that people after the draft, they just want to hear how good things are going to be because look how good our guys are now?
Nah, but I think the people don't want to believe that just because you made one decision that all hope is over. And so, I think there's a difference between just sucking up to people. No, I mean, you don't have to change your opinion. I mean, that's the way that you believe.
I'm happy to do it.
It's an F, so don't change for the people. No.
The people want me to say, like, everything is awesome.
No. I don't think that is what they want.
Everything is cool when you're part of the team. I can be part of the team.
All right.
I mean, I can tell you why Javonte Williams and the guy who lifts propane tanks and Miners and Patrick Surtain, I can tell you. I don't know much about Browning. I mean, everybody tells me he's awesome. That's why he went with the last pick in the third round. Oh, see, I slipped. gotta bite my tongue on that.
You couldn't change if you wanted to, so don't even try.
I want to be a better person, everybody. I want to be. I don't know. Sure, I hope. When they said the 50-50 thing, Tyler, that's
Here's what I would challenge you to remember.
The 50-50 thing.
One of your favorite phrases of all time comes from Bill Belichick, and that there is always multiple ways to solve a problem.
Yes,
and
that
there are
true.
Multiple ways to
you
win
are
in
right.
football.
There you go.
And just because you did not select Justin Fields does not believe that George Payton will be a failure as a GM.
Perfect. 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 Should I just roll with that? That sounds good.
I guess if you believe it. I don't want you to say anything you don't believe.
I mean, I can believe it. I can believe anything.
I want you to say what you believe.
I'm looking at the text line. Everybody's all upset.
I know that George Payton's dead to you. I know that you're done
He's
with
not,
it.
No.
I know that you're done with him just like you're done with Elway.
Oh.
He's dead to you. You will never forgive George Payton. Don't even act like you will.
I just love everybody who says, oh, good thing you're not the GM. Hey, man, I can put it on auto draft the same as anybody else, dude. I mean, auto draft, board, best player available. What do you think best player available is? It's auto draft. Seriously, we got the best corner and the best running back. Oh, okay. How's our quarterback? Where are we on that one? Seriously, where are we? So we have the best cornerback and the best running back. Where are we in quarterback, everybody?
The quarterback situation's a little bit depressing right now. I can't fight it. I can't fight that at all.
Oh, we got the best running back. Oh, wow. How do we do it? Anyways. All right, so, no, I'm on board. What am I supposed to say now? Oh, yeah, stop crying. Don't be this. Don't be that. You're a whiny little this. Blah, blah, blah. Why are you so negative? Look at it. Look at this.
I mean, are you surprised?
I got to admit, I am a little bit surprised.
I mean, you did love George Payton like a week ago, and now you're done with him. He's milk. I'm not, he's gone. He's just well, he's done. It's over.
He's just a.
He'll never bounce back. He got overwhelmed.
I don't know.
He made
maybe,
a decision. He got rushed. He couldn't recover. The moment was too big.
Well, yeah. I mean, should I not say that? It's all true.
What? How do you know that that's true? How do you know that he doesn't always have a plan that if Justin Fields was on the board, that he was going to select Pat Surtain over him?
Why? Because
how do you know that he got overwhelmed?
Because he panicked, dude. According to the Mike Silver article, they made a decision on Teddy Bridgewater 2 days before the draft. They freaked out. They had all offseason to plan it. They talked about.
So now you know that they would have selected Justin Fields previously.
Tyler, can we keep it real?
Sure.
George Payton and his decision on quarterback is the exact same thing as me and the tattoo. We said we talked a big game, but we had no plan until the last second, and then we just tried to get lucky. Muffle of the Speed comes up next.